The clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Man, what a change from last week. Currently, it's slap out. It's 42, Beavers 41, Buffalo, you're 37, May Ranch is 27, Cheyenne's 48, Elk City's 51, Hollis is 53. The hot spot in Oklahoma right now is Mangum, Oklahoma at 55, and Altus is coming in at a strong second. With 54 degrees, and Hobart's 52, Bessie's 50. We got, let's see what kind of winds we got. I can guess. On the mezzanine center here in our studio, it's showing 15 miles an hour, so it must be getting it outside. Cheyenne, 26-mile-an-hour wind with gust up to 32. That looks kind of like the strong point there. Weatherford and Bessie about the same. And Hollis, 21-mile-an-hour wind with gust up to 27. So anyway, hope everybody had a Merry Christmas, and hope you got what you want. But the text line is open at 580-225-9697. Love to hear from you what you got for Christmas. Did anybody get him a new tractor, new trailer? You know, anything really juicy to talk about there? Anyway, hey, by the way, did anybody watch the Yellowstone Marathon last night? Well, anyway, that last one before the new one came out in 1923. I just had one text in already. Is that juicy enough? Going to start back stripping today. Stripping cotton. Not stripping, but stripping cotton. Anyway, good luck with that, Mr. Smith. I hope you guys get her knocked out this week. Looks like we have really good weather for the next 10 days after today. So anyway, good luck with your cotton stripping. Hope everybody gets all their crops harvesting finished up here this week and next. We got the weather for it. But back to Yellowstone. So anyway, the last one that was on last night during the marathon, did anybody pay attention to what Beth was trying to talk her dad into doing? And the whole time she's doing this, I'm thinking, Beth listens to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, because that's exactly what we talk about a lot on here. So they were going along there. I'm just going to tell you enough not to give it all away. But anyway, they found some buffalo calves that were had passed out in the pasture from tuberculosis, and they all went into panic mode, so they're going to have to move their cattle to where I found out, Texas Panhandle into southeastern Colorado, where a buddy of his has some grass. Well, anyway, Beth's trying to talk him out of this because it's going to cost, like, I don't know how many head, and I'm sure it's a made-up number, but $1.3 million a month, which I didn't, that's the only line that I thought was not accurate. But anyway, for them to move the cattle and send hands down there and graze out all this pasture and stuff. But Beth's trying to talk him into following up with his calves to the feedlots and selling the beef off the farm, off the ranch. And so it was interesting. I thought the whole time, man, Beth listens to my show. So, and she got on the phone with this guy, and she was talking to him and asking him some questions. And he said, you know, first thing is, when you follow your calves all the way to the processor, you know, it takes 2 years. Your first go around takes 2 years. And I know there's some of you guys around here that already do it, and you understand exactly what he was telling her. Once you calf's born, you keep it, and take it to the feedlot and follow it all the way. It's almost a full two-year process to do that, so you have no income coming in. But I see her, what she's doing, she's like, Dad, you don't even have the money to pay for the rent down there in Texas Panhandle and southeastern Colorado. You know, what's the deal? So anyway, I foresee next week's last episode of Yellowstone for season 5, something coming this. So whoever's doing that show up there is actually fairly accurate on what they're doing with the cattle. So it's pretty interesting. So anyway, thanks, Beth, for listening. Appreciate it. Hope you take some more advice from us to hear on Today in Ag. So anyway, it's all good. Well, let's check out some markets real quick. Sale barn. It's going to be pretty quiet this week. I don't think there's any sales in Western Oklahoma going on, and I'll try to keep up with anybody else that might be doing some in Kansas or Texas or up in the city. I don't know. I had to do my homework, figure it out. I know Cattlemen's Congress is starting up next week, so get ready. Check on their schedule on cattlemenscongress.com to see what shows, what days, and I think they said they've already got people signed up from matching up to last year, 48 states, 4 countries. So anyway, it's gonna be good. Looks like everything is in the green today, but hogs. How about that? Even cotton is in the green. March corn, 666. May, 665. July, 658. Soybeans for January, 1479. 1484 for March. 1490 for May, and 1493 for July. Soybean meal is up pretty nicely. January is 455.30 a short ton. March is 451.30. May is 443.90. Soybean oil, January 65.93. March 64.65. And May is 63.77. Hard red winter wheat for March is 874. May is 869. Oats for March, 363. And May is 360. Live cattle, December 156.90. February 157.75. April 161.82. June is 157.85. Feeder cattle for January is 184 even. March is 186.75. Clean hogs are in the red, February 87.82, April 95.37, May is 172. Cotton, can't forget cotton since Spencer texted in. It was good talking to you the other day at Janice's Cafe there, Mr. Smith. Cotton for March, 85 cents a pound, and May is also 85 cents a pound. Oh my gosh, Sugar Baby ought to be just already going to the bank to deposit his money today. Sugar hit the 21 cents even mark for March. So anyway, funny story. Probably ain't going to say his name. I had a text last night from a gentleman wanting to know what the new crop he had been hearing about some of the guys in Dale High were going to do under irrigation. It's a pineapple deal I got going with Sugar Baby. And anyway, I got him all lined out on the pineapple crop that Brian, I don't know if he's going to get his son Bandy to help, probably not, but Brian's going to be planting pineapples come this spring. I don't know if our growing season around here is long enough, but we're going to find out. Anyway, crude oil is also up. It's almost to the $80 mark for February for West Texas Intermediate. Natural gas is just kind of hanging in there around the $5 mark for January. And in that deal, S&P, NASDAQ, Dow futures are all in the green. They're up. Nothing huge, but they're up. And gold is at $1,795.90. If anybody's got any gold they want to cash in on. When I come back, we'll talk about a little more about the weather and anybody got any crazy stories from that little winter blast we had. You know, it was a huge winter blast. Text them in to me, please, at 580-225-9697. I know there's something crazy happened out there that's out of the norm. So anyway, and thanks, everybody. They went to at least Atwood's here in Elk City. I don't know about Clinton and Woodward. Anyway, they... They sold out of those 12-inch DeWalt chainsaws. I went out there Saturday to see if they had any of those battery packs left, and they were sold out of them. And this one lady that was in there, I can't remember her name, sorry. I think she's assistant manager there under Billy. She said, man, it was crazy yesterday. There was guys coming in all afternoon buying these chainsaws. We sold them completely out. So the voice of radio does really work if you want to know the truth. So anyway, congratulations to everybody that got them a new 12-inch DeWalt battery-powered chainsaw. They work really well. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
High school juniors and seniors, do you want a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes? Western Equipment, a John Deere dealer in Oklahoma, Texas, and New Mexico, is holding a mechanical aptitude competition in Plainview, Texas on January 14th. Do you have common sense and know a thing or two about mechanics? If so, then this event is definitely for you. You can learn more about this event and register for it at west-equip.com/competition. Registration spots are limited, so grab your ag teacher, counselor, parent, or buddy, and we look forward to seeing you on the 14th.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 19th. For all you great stewards of the land, I'm Drew Cobb. 1,487 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 381 brought 268. 12 at 524 brought 201. 4 at 570 brought 194. 3 at 602 brought 185. 31 at 730 brought 179. 4 at 771 brought 178. 52 at 820 brought 179. 3 head of heifers at 400 brought 177. 4 at 451 brought 180. 8 at 519 brought 163. 6 at 564 brought 174. 7 at 581 brought 168. 14 at 604 brought 176. 3 at 633 brought 172. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 95. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 900 to 1285. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemenscongress.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Well, here on the Today in Ag show on Mondays is always the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Happy Cap Hour. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association is a member-led and member-driven organization that provides legislative representation to protect things like your farm sales exemption, water rights, property rights, up to $10,000 theft reward program to assist in gathering information if you experience livestock theft, in-person and virtual producer education, beef direct sales list that connects consumers with OCA members, marketing beef, kind of like Beth on Yellowstone. She knew exactly who to go look for. I don't know if she called OCA, but you never know. She might have found that guy on OCA. Monthly issues of the Cattleman's Magazine and weekly email updates and issues videos. For just $100 a year, you can experience all those member benefits with so much more. That's less than $2 a week or a little over $8 a month to have an association that's working full-time to represent you and to help protect your way of life. For more information, go to www.okcattleman.org or call Lori at 580-273-5137. And I appreciate the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association sponsoring the OCA Happy Cap Hour every Monday right here on the Today in Ag Show. All right, it's Cheyenne. Currently, it's 48 degrees. Wind chill is 40. The winds are out of the northwest at 25 with gusts up to 32. Humidity is 40%. So, yeah, I bet Spencer's getting ready if he ain't already started to get after some more of that cotton. The Long Ranger forecast looks actually pretty good. I know the next couple of days are going to be breezy. That's okay. We can deal with a little more wind, a little wind with the versus what we had last week. And oh, I just got a text in that she called the 4-6s. She was looking on their website. There we go. I didn't know that. Well, they could still be a member of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. You don't know that, RH. Anyway, thanks for the info. I know I had a crazy last 3 or 4 days there during that storm. Lost 2 windmills and 1 solar pump. Solar pump I got back to going yesterday. Thank goodness I didn't have to haul any water because I have 2 tanks at each. Besides that solar pump, there's a windmill in that same pasture, but I had 2 tanks there that held a lot of water, so I didn't have to haul any. And the windmill worked the first 36 hours of that storm, and then I had the brake was working on it and everything, but it still broke that rod in between, so gotta get that fixed. And the other windmill in the other pasture down here south Elk City on Merritt Road, it was that brake wasn't quite holding that windmill, and it was moving, and of course you know what happens, it was bringing water up, and it looked like the frozen picture of the Niagara Falls coming out of the top of that well. And finally it broke that safety chain and rod on that thing, but I got a pond there, had to break ice on it, everything went well there. And then the craziest one was I got one of those 2-ball waterers in the lot where I'm weaning those bull calves, and it froze the first night for first time ever, and the bulls were using it. I know they were. And so anyway, I just threw some protein tubs in there, filled them up. The hydrant under the shed was fine. Filled them up with water so they could have a little bit of water. But that thing unthawed, and the balls floated back up when it was still way below zero. Or freezing, not zero, but freezing. I guess just one of those phenomenons that happened. Had a calf, 250-pound calf, prolapse. Got him caught this morning with his mama, taking him to the vet after the show today, and see what happens with that. She was one of the heifers that Baylor Newcomb was so kind to go out in the pasture there about 10 days ago that had pneumonia, and it shot her for me. She's getting better, but she's kind of outcast. You know how those little clicks, the cows are so clicky. And the older, grumpier cows keep the younger ones away and let them eat when they want to. So I got them separated, and we'll get them to the vet, get them checked out, and put them in a separate pen and feed them a little better till they get better, and then take them back out the pasture so they'll kind of a bad time of the year to try to be getting something healthy. You know how that goes. All right, let's see here. Oh, I just wanted to tell you guys, there's a winter conference put on by Precision Planting. It's coming up. It's annual. 5,000 farmers from all over the world come to these things. And I know some of you guys are looking for something to do next month. And one of the things that they do is you'll hear directly from engineers and agronomists focused on improving farm operations through product development and research. Also learn strategies and techniques that you can implement immediately on your farm. And you can also connect with other growers. So if you're interested in any field, just go to precisiongrowers.com. You'll find out about this conference. And they've got a couple of them. There's, how many of them? 36 events, 22 locations. The closest one would be in Amarillo on January 18th. And there's another one in Garden City. And when is that one? No, there's two in Garden City. Wednesday, January 18th, same day as the one in Amarillo, and there's another one Thursday, January 19th, and looks like they're just about 7 hours long, 8 to 3 o'clock. So anyway, if you're wanting to find out more about precision farming and things to improve, because we all need to improve and streamline our business with the inputs being so high nowadays, check this winter conference deal out with Precision Planting. precisionplanting.com. I thought I'd just pass that along to you guys. All right, what else we got? Oh, over here on the Texas side, the 2022 Texas A&M horse judging team housed in Texas A&M College of Agriculture and Life Sciences Department of Animal Science made history this year. The team won the All-American Quarter Horse Congress for the first time in 9 years and finished the season with a reserve finish at the American Quarter Horse Association World Championship Collegiate Horse Judging Contest. The team was led by Sarah Schubert, I hope I said that right, equine lecturer and horse judging team coach in animal science, and graduate assistant coach Hannah McClellan from Plymouth, Indiana. I'm going to try to get Sarah on. She's actually she went to school at OSU here in Stillwater. I'm going to try to get them on and talk more a little bit about what's into the horse judging and how that was, because they did really good. Winning contest is important to team members and coaches, but it's not the only reason the students come from across the university to compete on judging teams. Megan Miller, who was an animal science, major on the team, and Raylan Ezel, biology major from Wheelock, Texas, they shared their experience. So if you'll get on their AgriLife Today website, you can see more about that. It's pretty interesting. It's a really long read, or I'd read it on here, but it's really interesting to look at this interview with these two young ladies. They got a lot to look forward to in life, as interesting as they were in this article. So it's pretty cool. All right, what else do we got going on? Oh, this is not to get off the track of agriculture, but the three men were convicted of numerous charges in one of the largest poaching cases in Wyoming history, and one of them's kind of got a little bit of Oklahoma history to him. The charges were the result of a 7-year multi-agency investigation. Out of Cheyenne, these three men was charged with more than 100 wildlife violations in one of the largest poaching cases in Wyoming history. The felony and misdemeanor charges were the result of 7 years multi-agency investigation spanning from 4 states and involving thousands of hours of investigations and efforts by state and federal wildlife enforcement officers, county, and even federal prosecutors. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department forensic laboratory personnel and others. The charges were prosecuted across 4 different Wyoming counties, including Park County, this last September. Investigating and successfully prosecuting a case of this size and scope required years of effort by many individuals and agencies, said Rick King, Game and Fish Game Warden, Chief Game Warden. Dozens of people worked hard to make sure that even some of these violations occurred a decade or more ago. They would not go unpunished. Russell Vick of Alabama, Robert Underwood of Oklahoma, and David Underwood of South Dakota were convicted of numerous wildlife offenses and was fined $171,230 and $131,550 in restitution. The case began back in October 2015 when a Gillette game warden, and I worked right by Gillette, received a request from a hunter for an interstate game tag to accompany a deer head as it was shipped to Vic for taxidermy work at an Alabama address. However, a database search showed Vic having a Wyoming address and that he purchased Wyoming resident hunting licenses for several years. With this little conflicting information, the warden began to unravel the case and would eventually identify dozens of wildlife violations in four different counties. Let's see here. Skip on down here to get to some of the more juicy stuff. Federal search warrant was conducted in November of 2017 after officers learned Vic had removed more than a dozen wildlife mounts from his residence, including three bull moose and three bighorn sheep rams. The mounts were tied to locations in Wyoming where Vic poached these animals. They were later found hidden in a trailer he had removed from his property and stashed over 60 miles away from his residence in Alabama. Using the gathered evidence and information from multiple interviews, charges against the three individuals were brought forward in Wyoming. First, I'll just read this first and then we'll be done with this. Vic was charged with illegally killing two bighorn sheep rams and a bull elk without a license during closed seasons and trespassing on private property to hunt without permission in 2006. Vic was additionally charged as an accessory in illegal taking of two wild turkeys and a bull elk. This is just in one county. Just to see what he got done in that county, he said on June 10th, he reappeared in court and pleaded guilty to illegally killing those two bighorn sheep rams. Judge Castino imposed $20,000 in fine, $10,000 in restitution, and suspended Vic's hunting, fishing, and trapping privileges for 10 years. So just to put a little bit more to it, the next county he went to, they took his and these other guys' license away from them for a lifetime. How about that? Anyway, we get back. We're going to talk about Mexico and corn. And a record was set here just lately on the sale of a Texas Longhorn bull. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Mickey will go to bat for you. Anytime you've got a problem or, you know, a question, he's Johnny on the spot. If he doesn't know, he calls up higher to get it figured out. And we've got tractors insured, balers, combines, swathers, cattle, hay, home, anything you can think of, he's got it. And he's been called a few times. Mickey is really good about coming to see what you need. You know, he'll come to where you are to get your signature or go over something that he's run into a problem. You know, you can't beat that because we live 18 miles from his office. So it helps when he's willing to come to the house. He's done, you know, just whatever he needs to do, he'll be there. I'm Jill Jerusha, and I'm a farmer and rancher in Southwest Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. And we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. I'm Drew Cobb. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 16th. 1,979 head were sold. 13 head of steers at 387 brought 258. 7 at 401 brought 224. 9 at 473 brought 210. 4 at 564 brought 182. 5 at 632 brought 176. 22 at 645 brought 180. 3 at 685 brought 164. 8 head of heifers at 389 brought 192. 13 at 476 brought 169. 3 at 528 brought 166. 5 at 610 brought 163.50. 8 at 615 brought 157. 4 at 704 brought 156. 5 at 983 brought 140. Butcher cows were 5 to 87.50. Butcher bulls brought 41 to 98. Bred cows were 750 to 1775. Pairs brought 1100 to 1850. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Let's see what the forecast, the Long Ranger, is for northwestern Oklahoma. And we're going to do, what are we going to do? We're going to do the May Ranch. Oh, and I got the Texas Mezzanette up. They updated some of their stuff, and now I can actually take care of some of our friends across the state line over there. Currently, it's a different world at the May Ranch right now than it is around most of western Oklahoma. 26 with a wind chill at 11 degrees. Humidity's at 47, winds are out of the north, 23 with a wind gust up to 29. Today, you might make it to 38. Tonight, 19. Tomorrow, nice. Winds out of south, 53 degrees for a high. Wednesday, winds will be out of the south-southwest, 20 miles an hour with wind gust up to 37, but it's going to be a nice, toasty 67 degrees. Thursday, not so bad on the wind. 14 to 15 with wind gust up to 20, 59 for a high. And then Friday, northeast wind, not much, but it'll be 7 miles an hour out of the northeast at 51 for a high. And that's the May Ranch forecast for you. How about that? Anyway, let's see here. Let's go here. Let's go back to the Mexico and the U.S. on their GMO corn deal. The Biden administration officials refused to say more than that they were studying potential resolutions to a blossoming dispute over GMO corn exports on Wednesday of last week, although Mexico's agriculture minister said an informal agreement already existed, so it sounds like they're still squabbling. And the U.S. officials were satisfied with the proposal to delay a ban on the import of GMO corn until 2025, according to a published report. Mexico is one of the biggest consumers for U.S. corn, almost all of which is grown from GMO seed. President Lopez signed a decree in late 2020 to end imports of GMO corn by 2024. Ahead of the U.S.-Mexico meeting last week, He reportedly offered to wait until 2025 to ban imports of yellow corn used in livestock feed, which makes up the lion's share of U.S. corn shipments. White corn is used in making tortillas on everyday food in Mexico. One of the U.S. counterparts considered this response satisfactory. He said, "We submitted a document for discussion, possible in the second half of January, where this issue will be definitely resolved. The timeline for restrictions on corn imports could be adjusted again in the future, depending on domestic production levels. We refer you back to the public statement following last week's meeting with Mexican officials," said the Agriculture Department when asked about his remarks. In a joint statement, U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tay and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack said the Mexican delegation has presented some potential amendments to the GMO corn decree this last Friday before we took off for Thanksgiving. "We agreed to review their proposal closely and follow up with questions or concerns in short order. There's a joint recognition that this time is of essence and we must determine a path forward soon," said Tay and Vilsack. Vilsack has raised the possibility of a USMCA challenge to Mexico's policy, and there have been forecast economic disruption on both sides of the border. Mexican livestock feeders would have to pay higher prices for the smaller volume of non-GMO corn on the world's market, while the U.S. farmers would lose up to 17 million tons of corn sales annually, according to one analyst. So how about that? All right. How about this Texas Longhorn breaks the record at an auction? And it wasn't the ones from Austin, Texas. I promise you that. Owners of the Harrell Ranch in Tulsa, Oklahoma, have broken a record with one of their Texas Longhorns. Kent and Sandy Harrell have been raising Longhorns for over 40 years. They recently took their cow. I guess it was a cow, not a bull. There, I guess so. I guess I'll look at the picture. Yeah, it's a cow. Believe me, I can tell the difference. They recently took their cow, HR Rosette, at the Legends Longhorn Auction back in September. Her horns measured 100 inches tip to tip. You looked at this picture on it. Don't even really look like a, I mean, I guess, what is a Texas Longhorn look like officially? This is a, she's a brute. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, HR Rosette went for $700,000. The Herald stated they will put the cash back in the ranch to help offset inflation, rise in property taxes, and the issues brought by extreme weather. Back in 2017, the Harrell Ranch sold another Longhorn for $380,000. So anyway, that's pretty good. That's a little over $1 million for two Longhorns, cows. So they ought to be doing pretty good on the ranch. How about that? Anyway, so we'll be right back after this.
This is Jerry Knight, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, December the 20th, we sold 714 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, December the 15th, we sold 2,922 kids and feeders for a total of 3,636 cattle for the week. Killing cows and bulls, 4 to 6 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows, 79.5 to 95. 10 cows brought 55 to 71. Bulls brought 85 to 107. 2 to 8-year-old bred cows, 10.85 to 16.35. 9 and older bred cows, 7.85 to 9.75. 2 to 8-year-old pairs, 11.50 to 16.35. Extremely good calf and feeder market. Feeders up to 5 higher, kids up to 15 higher. Steer calves, 3 to 350, 235 to 275. 4 to 450 steers, 231 to 267. 5 to 550, $2 to 244. 6 to 650, 170 to 186. 7 to 750, 167 to 177.5. 8 to 850, 174 to 176. And our 850 to 9-weight steers, 171 to 173. We sell 52 steers, one bunch weighing 427, bring 267. We sell 50 steers, another bunch weighing 511, bring 244. On our heifers, 3 to 350, heifers 203 to 213, 4 to 450, 185 to 216, 5 to 550, 171 to 183, 6 to 650, 151 to 167, 7 to 750, 152.5 to 176 and a quarter, 7 heifers weighing 889, bring 153. And our 9 to 950 heifers, 153 to 164.50. We sell 50 heifers, one bunch, weighing 411, bring 226. This is our last sale this year. We hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a great prosperous New Year. Thanks to all our buyers and sellers. Our first sale back will be Thursday, January the 5th, Thanksgiving Jerry 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farming is the greatest family business in America. It's teamwork between fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. Generation after generation of families working together to provide our local area with the food we need to live and grow our local economy. We owe a lot to our local farmers and ranchers. We're proud to be your bank. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
It can happen so easily. You're out with your friends or coworkers. You're putting back a few drinks. A few become a few too many. Time to go. For a moment, you think of calling for a ride. Nah, you're a good driver. You live nearby. You can make it home okay. What are the odds you'll get pulled over? And even so, what's worse that can happen? You lose your license. You lose your job. You total your car. You kill someone. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Play it safe. Plan ahead to get a ride. Drive sober or get pulled over.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
This season of hope, of giving, and of kindness should help put our thoughts squarely on heaven. There's no better time than now to focus on the glory of God and decide to become the people heaven wants us to be. Parents, God has entrusted you with the care of precious children. It's the toughest job you'll ever have, but it also offers the greatest rewards. Remind your children to be servants like Christ. He came to serve and to give. Encourage your kids to live up to that standard Jesus set for us all. And kids, don't just blend in with the crowd at school and at the ball games. Be as bold as a lion in your determination to do what's right. Don't be afraid to be different. Carry yourself with the confidence that trust in Christ brings. See what it means to live with a boldness for Christ that lasts. As we enjoy the blessings of this holiday season and wind down the old year, let's determine to make a new start. Let's become the people that heaven wants us to be. From everyone at Canyon Oilfield Services, where the key word is service.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bags, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I picked Hollis, Oklahoma today since they're the hot spot in the state right now at 56 degrees. Humidity's at 32. The winds are out of the north, 22 miles an hour with gusts up to 30. Today, 52 degrees for high. Guess what? They passed it. They might even get up to 60, because I was really surprised yesterday on my truck. I seen a 53 on there, and it wasn't supposed to get up to 47, 46, but we'll take it. Tonight in Hollis, 24 for a low. Tomorrow will be breezy. Winds out of the south, 56 degrees for a high. Wednesday, 71 degrees for Hollis, Oklahoma. Thursday 63 and Friday 58. So it looks like a great week. It's going to be breezy all the way through Thursday night, and then the winds will calm down, and Friday looks like a beautiful day to get something done on the farm or the ranch. How about that? All right. Also, I want to go over this. I don't want my Texas buddies over there to feel left out. So I got the West Texas Mesonet system loaded up on the computer. Only problem is they haven't got it to where they have a forecast period of 3 or 5 days, whatever they want to do. But right now in Wellington, Texas, it's 54 degrees. The winds are from the north at 23 with gusting up to 27. Humidity's 28. The sea level pressure is 1025.7 megabytes. 3-hour pressure tendency is 0.6. Solar radiation is 603 W/M2. Peak wind gusts so far today in Wellington is 34. And sub-freezing minutes so far today is 170 minutes. And they've had a little over a half inch of rain in the month of December. And the 8-inch soil temperature is 33. There you go. And sunrise was 7:47, sunsets at 5:37. That is your West Texas Mesonet forecast for Wellington, Texas. So back at you. Anyway, welcome back to the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Happy Cap Hour. And we got a couple more things to go over before the show's over. And let's see, I got a text on here from my wife. You keep talking about crime, mafia, et cetera, on the radio. You might get a visit from law enforcement. Better not turn me in for the reward there, honey, because you're going to have to bail me out, so you'll lose money on that deal. All right, it's gaining ground. Soil health and erosion control, not climate change, drives expansion of cover crops, and I agree. So the text line's wide open. Let me hear it. 580-225-9697. Do you believe in climate change? Do you think it's global warming? How about this? Yes or no on climate change? I, for one, believe that the climate does change. But it always has changed and always will change. And what we're spending these billions and trillions of dollars on, is it going to change it? I'm not a scientist, but sometimes it's hard to believe some of these scientists on global warming, because I think it's just a way for some of these people to make more money and profit off trying to get all this stuff done. American farmers are unchanging skeptics of climate change, but they are slowly adopting cover crops. Two surveys, one by Purdue and another by the United States Department of Agriculture, says farmers approaching 60% employed cover crops on at least on some of their land. Not all of it, but at least some of it. But 3/4 of the farmers and ranchers polled by Purdue this fall said they have made no changes in their operations because of climate change. Almost the same figure as 3 years ago. Reasons cited by producers for planting cover crops are varied, but improved soil health at 37% of the respondents and improved erosion control at 33% of the respondents were the top two reasons cited. Only 5% choose the deal with carbons when asked. What are your motivations for planting cover crops? Check all that apply. Among reasons to use cover crops, proponents say there is a potential way to earn money from a carbon contract. Nearly 6 out of 10, which is 57% of the respondents, said they currently plant cover crops on a portion of their farmland, while approximately 1 out of 4 said they never have planted a cover crop. And this was from Purdue. A year ago, 52% said they currently planted cover crops. Although more farmers are utilizing cover crops, there was a little change from last year in portion of land involved. Half of the farmers said 25% or less of their land was planted to cover crops, and a quarter of farmers said cover crops were on 26 to 50% of their land. Newcomers with 5 years of less or less experience were the largest segment of users, 40% this year, 48% last year. In a USDA survey of 34,000 farmers, 59% of the respondents said they employed cover crops in 2021. The survey of adoption of conservation practices said cover crops were on 40% of cropland. Half the adoption rate of five or other practices in the survey, producers were more confident that practices such as nutrient management or reduced tillage would pay off that would cover with would be with cover crops, which require additional inputs and field operations. Financial incentives are one driver of the increased cover crop adoption, said the USDA economist in a report last year. Adoption was higher in the eastern United States and less common in the Midwest, and relatively rare at 15.4 million acres nationwide in 2017, equal to about 5.1% of the crop land. Given that cover crops are integrated into cash crop rotations, it's also helpful to compare cover crop acreage to cover crop cash crop acreage. In 2017, only corn, soybeans, winter wheat, and hay had more total acres than other cover crops. There you have it. So my opinion on the deal, whether you care or not, is I think that it's with inputs on fertilizer and chemicals, fuel, equipment costs, stuff like that, that I think cover crops, especially legumes, being planted into your soil with your rotational crops is going to save you quite a bit on fertilizer. I really honestly believe that, and it'd be hard to prove wrong. We're doing the field down at Granite, and we're going to be doing it with no tillage and cover crops, hopefully, maybe. We'll see what happens. Wildlife population has a lot to do with that also in the area where I farm. But just think about it. If you can plant legumes in with your rotational crop, whatever it is, and it's putting out fertilizer and saves you on top dressing the next crop or getting ready for the next crop, it's just input costs that you don't have to see. Well, speaking of that, I got my new magazine in the mail Friday from Successful Farming, and briefly we'll go over this. There's four items that always stick in all of our minds. It's inflation and supply chain issues, seed price hikes, chemicals, and what else we got here? I had it memorized. Chemical outlook and fertilizer. How about that? According to Gil Galuxkin, if I said that right, you may not have the lava lamps and the laser suits that accompanied the 1970s style inflation, but the inflation prices that bedeviled farmers in 2022 show no signs of abating coming up. Seed price hikes, no surprise, farmers paid for more for seed in 2022 than in previous years. Higher seed costs have been building since COVID-19, but they really didn't hit the farmers till this year, says Sam Taylor. There tends to be an 18-month lag time from when companies start producing the seed before they can pass the cost on to the farmer. Expect this to continue in 2023 and beyond. Unanticipated events such as the drought, the Russian invasion of Ukraine, helped spike grain and oilseed prices. This enabled gross farmer profits to swell and create a decent financial environment. He said seed companies are going to be more optimistic on seed prices, and it may not come back as a pushback for growers. All right, back over here to fertilizer. Fertilizer costs zoomed in 2022, according to USDA data analyzed by the University of Illinois. Average anhydrous ammonia prices tallied $1,318 per ton. DAP prices were $947 per ton. Potash levels hovered around $857 a ton on September 22nd, here a couple months ago. In comparison to January of 2020, saw approximate per ton prices of anhydrous ammonia at $500, $400 for DAP, and $390 for potash, so way more than double. The good news is fertilizer supplies should be ample. There probably not going to be any shortage of the product at the price you're willing to pay. Nitrogen fertilizer prices will particularly be affected by tightening natural gas supplies because of the Russian-Ukraine war. Natural gas is a component used in making anhydrous ammonia. Chemical outlook. Unlike 2022, fewer supply constraints with chemistries such as glyphosate should be not a problem. The prices should be down from 2023, depending on Chinese production. I see dicamba and 2,4-D prices going up a little bit. That's because of increased demand. Both are widely used in burn down. We had a great spring for burn down products, and we had a great fall for burn down herbicide products. So anyway, take that, judge it however you want, and I don't think much is going to change. I don't know, unless something crazy happens, it's not going to skyrocket, but it's not going down much, so make the plans accordingly. You guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.
Fun, right? Isn't this fun? This is nice.
KECO.